Hey, are you ready to create reliable revenue and master every detail of your hosting business? If you want to avoid compromising all those hospitality details that you love, but still approach hosting like the business it is, we created a free class just for you. Set aside 45 minutes. We promise it's worth your time. And go watch our value-packed workshop where we go over how to master every detail of your hosting business with our foolproof hosting business mastery method that will help you avoid hosting burnout. Growing, where simply starting your hosting business isn't always easy, but it can be simple. We'll help you avoid the three big mistakes that are keeping you stuck, tired, and overwhelmed as a short-term rental host so that you have a powerful revenue stream you can actually rely on.
If you're ready to take your hosting to the next level, head on over to thanksforvisiting.me/workshop to watch this on-demand training. Or send us a DM on Instagram with the word workshop. We'll send you the link and most likely a video DM. We love those. Again, that's thanksforvisiting.me/workshop.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hey, listeners, welcome back for another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. We are so excited to come to you via podcast, via YouTube, and kick off this episode like we do each and every week, and that is sharing one of you, our amazing viewers and listeners, in your short-term rentals because you're using our hashtag, #STRShareSunday. We'll share you on our Instagram channel every Sunday, but you'll also get blasted to our email list, of course, here in the podcast, YouTube. So, Annette, who are we sharing this week?
Today, we are featuring at MI Home Away. And MI, I think, stands for Michigan because their property is in Bel Air, Michigan. And one thing, I'm hoping that these have been listeners for a while because I think they're taking a lot of our cues and it makes me very happy. But I'm already drawn to it. It is an all-seasons cottage on 10 acres.
Wow.
Take me there. Sounds awesome. And it's Eric and Liz. And I know they're new to hosting, but I love what they've done on their Instagram. Sarah and I recommend this all the time. They've got their reviews. They've got their space. They take you through the renovation, which Eric and Liz, wonderful job.
Everyone loves it before.
Yes, they've crushed it. They've added some amazing color. And they also have around town, so restaurants, places that you could go. But they've done a fantastic job on their social media because they're woven in who they are and their faces. They've woven in just a little bit about the town. They, like I said, they've woven in the renovation. There's some amazing color in their home. It's pet friendly. And so there's dog treats and dog love there. And their dog is featured in a lot of the pictures. So Sarah and I have a soft spot for anybody that shows their pups here, but well done. I love it. They have their short-term rental right in the bio of their Instagram and their hero images, everybody. If you want to go look at their actual listing, I want to go in this living room. I want to hang out in the kitchen. They have some outdoor photos and the bedroom. So their first five pictures that they show, I'm like, sign me up. I want to go hang out at their property. So well done at MI Home Away. Thank you for using the hashtag. And then let's get on to this episode, Sarah.
Okay.
We have a special guest and someone we actually have a relationship with, but we have a relationship with her because of hosting and our membership. And we actually got to meet her in person maybe two or three months ago now. And it's just been really lovely to be able to meet other hosts, but meet people online and then be able to share them as guests on our podcast. So Sarah, do you want to introduce our special guest today?
Yes. And really the catalyst to getting our guest on the show today was we have a private Facebook group inside of Hosting Business Mastery. And this guest just announced leaps and bounds in terms of dialing in her revenue management. Mm-hmm. And no one tells us that before you start hosting. I mean, maybe
what's revenue management? I didn't even know what that was.
If you find things for visiting before, great. That's awesome, right? But I know when I started, like, I didn't really know. I thought I was like, I got this. I can clean a room. Like, I can chat. I can be really nice to a guest. But man, you have to wear so many hats. And so today, Kylan Pimley began her property management career in 2006. So she's been at this for a while. After she and her husband bought their first investment property, a duplex, after adding and remodeling 8 more long-term rental properties, it wasn't until 2018, so over 10 years later, that Kylan started including short-term rental properties into their portfolio, using her family's second home as the experiment. She wanted visitors to have access to everything special about the Gorge that she enjoyed growing up. Kylan created Go Gorge Getaways, which now offers 2 short-term rental properties in the Columbia River Gorge. Along with growing Go Gorge Getaways, she also oversees their long-term rental properties and manages marketing for their mortgage company. So the Pimleys
She's not busy.
And they are all into this real estate investment.
By the way, she's on her membership and she shows up to all the calls.
She sure does.
And she's active in the Facebook group and she's a mom and a dog mom. And let's hear from Kylan. How do you juggle this all? How did you get started in this real estate empire that you and your husband are building?
Hi, girls. Thank you so much for having me. This is, if you had asked me if I would ever be on a podcast, let alone this podcast, in October when I found you, I would never believe it. So this is really cool. And thank you so much for thinking of me.
Of course.
I guess my background in property management was, it was a side hustle in the beginning. So I was in the sports marketing and athlete hospitality industry for 12 years. And through that, I managed our long-term rental property. Okay. So our first one that we bought was a duplex and it needed a lot of TLC. And we spent every weekend driving from Portland up into White Salmon to remodel this thing. And it just grew from there. So we, over the years, remodeled at least, 7 or 8 of those, sold some, bought new ones, just kind of rotated it through. And I just got really monotonous and I didn't really find joy in it. Real estate was always kind of my husband's thing. And I was in it for the long-term wealth strategy. but I never really enjoyed it. I just did it and it was, you know, a black and white lease, easy peasy. So
make sure they paid rent each month. And then
Was that your job, Kylan? Were you the making sure everyone was paid up on time and maintenance tickets? Is that all you?
It started with Jake taking that on in the beginning, and then it quickly shifted to me. He has a very loving heart, but sometimes he lets some things go. So
you had to come in and be the hammer, per se.
Were you the bad cop, Kylan?
Of course. Always. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So then, I guess in 2017, I moved over to do marketing for a mortgage company as well.
Talk to us about this mortgage company. So Jake is your husband. We know this. We jokingly called him Jake from State Farm when we first met him, because how can you not?
He gets it all the time.
Yeah. I'm sure he's like, okay, just another person being very creative. But was that always his full-time gig since you met him?
Yeah. Not since we met. We met in high school. So we went to college together. And then out of college, that's been his gig, that and real estate investing.
Gotcha.
Okay. So when did the itch, obviously you're started with hosting one of your family's properties. Like, give us that aha moment. Because most people remember when they decided to shift to short-term rental and to list their property on an online travel agency like Airbnb. What kind of happened for you? Talk us through that.
Yeah, it was a total accident. I was in Arizona with my mom and sister, floating the lazy river, and Jake called and said, I bought a house. And it ended up being a mile down the road from my parents' house. And we were looking for something that we could use to enjoy while we were in the area visiting family. And so we thought we would just Airbnb it while we weren't using it. And we bought it in, it was in really bad shape. It had been vacant for 3 or 4 years. We bought it at a bank-owned auction. And we closed on it in May and we welcomed our first guest in September. So it took a bit to get it going. So, and then we had lots of guests in that fall season. And I just liked the excitement about it. It was the part of real estate of our lives that I enjoyed. So it was a big shift from, long-term property management.
And let's be very honest with our listeners though, as much as it is exciting, there's also this paralleled, like, let's just call it stress. Or nerve wracking, right? Like,
right.
I just know the personality types that are drawn to us. And so as much as it's exciting, I'm sure it's kind of nail biting too. Like, are they going to like everything that I picked out? Are they going to like the property? I don't want to upset my neighbors. So how are you transferring that kind of nerve wracking part and keeping it level with the excitement around hosting the guests?
Yeah, I had a very different mindset in the beginning than I do now. And I think that's a really important piece for me because I saw everything through the lens of a landlord and not through a hospitality concierge. And I think I told you girls too, I was like, I'm struggling. Like there's people that are breaking the rules. What do I do? And so in the beginning, I didn't have a lot of stress about like, oh my gosh, the coffee and oh my gosh, the linens. And I just furnished the house. Perfect was the enemy of done kind of thing. And I was like, well, I'll just rent it and see what happens. And people started coming and then giving us suggestions. And so I took everybody up on their feedback. And then once I took on the other property, I really started to see like, okay, this is a business. Like this is a thing. And I'm having fun.
Right. The second property was your family's, correct?
Yes. It's an ADU studio on my parents' property about a mile away from the other house.
Okay. So how is that? Like, was it easy? Cause you're like showing them success of your house and they were like, wait a second, why aren't we doing this? Or did you kind of have to talk them into that?
I talked them into it. It took about a year. Oh, wow. But it was mainly just logistical stuff. Like it's a really cool space. It's a guest quarters in my dad's ceramic art studio. Mm-hmm. So it's very eclectic. It's extremely like eccentric touches. He did all the shower tile himself. He's an incredible artist. So, and that's the space we used to use. My sister and I used to use when we visit with our families before we had the house. So we were all sort of logistically transitioning the studio into an Airbnb. And of course it just takes a bit to get everybody on board. But once it started going, it was clearly from the beginning, not a mistake. It was very successful. It's a really cozy, really cool place to stay.
Can we go back? I love this. You said it very quickly, but I think our listeners who may not have yet dipped their toe in short-term rentals and they are currently landlords of long-term rentals. But what do you mean that you were like looking at it through a lens of a landlord? Like, can you give us some specifics of things that you were doing that you're either no longer doing or you're doing differently so that you can be a more successful hospitality concierge? I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of letting go. Okay. It's a lot of letting go. With a long-term rental, it's very black and white. There's a lease. The only thing you really have to worry about is, you know, you have to know the laws. You have to know the landlord-tenant laws. You have to make sure they pay on time. You have to make sure that the property is safe at all times. And then that's basically it. And as long as they pay rent on time, I've gone years without talking to tenants unless there's an issue. Mm-hmm. Or if I can remember, I'll just send them a quick text, like making sure everything's okay, you know, that kind of stuff. So when we started renting out the house and the studio really to guests, I didn't have the hospitality mindset where people are going to want to check in early. People are going to want to check out late. people are going to want to bring their service animal. People are going to want to have 20 people over because they're in town for a wedding and the house sleeps 11, but they want 20 more extra people over to have a dinner. People are going to break rules. Mm-hmm. So it's not a black and white world, short-term renting. It's very, you know, we choose your battles and you just try to give and say yes as much as you can, but it's also important to hold boundaries. So that was a huge mindset shift for me. I remember the exact place I was standing when I had the realization that that's why I was struggling with it so much. I was at a conference, and I was talking to another host, who managed, I don't know, 300 rentals or something crazy. And I was talking to other hosts throughout this conference and I wasn't really getting the answer I needed. And I don't know, it wasn't hitting home. And this one guy looked at me and he goes, "Oh, honey, you're not a landlord anymore. You're in hospitality."
Oh.
And I went, "Oh, okay. That's a different thing."
Right? Yeah. And I do. I specifically remember on one of our calls when you had first joined, mm-hmm. I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but you were saying,
I remember.
Like, it was like you and your mom were struggling with like, they're not using our makeup towels. And like, they are like, their sheets are like, well, I don't know what they're doing in bed. And I remember I was like, well, and listeners, I'm like, I forget to use the makeup towels from time to time. And I am that person that eats pizza in bed. I'm not going to lie about it. So it was like, but I think this is a really common theme as we get so angry and like bent out mm-hmm. of shape because it's like, okay, what you said, it's hospitality. Those things are a cost of doing business.
Right.
And when you can make that like, shift of like, oh, it's a towel. And I'm going to say this again. When Sarah and I say this all the time, like, we're not saving people. Of course, your place needs to be safe, but like, we're not in the emergency room saving people. So like,
that's right.
If there's a casualty of a towel or there's a pillowcase that's a casualty, you just got to chop and literally just like keep moving forward because you can let it eat you alive.
There's a restaurateur in town in Columbus and he has a great quote that's really put him on the map in terms of hospitality. And his quote is, "Yes is the answer. What is the question?" And that is really, I mean, he has blown up from little old Columbus, Ohio, and he's got restaurants all over the country. And it's because one day he was at a restaurant and he asked for a milkshake or his daughter did or something. And the restaurant said, "Oh, it's not in the menu." And he's like, "Do you have milk?" And they were like, "Yes." Like, "Do you have ice?" And they were like, "Yes." He's like, "Do you have vanilla extract?" They were like, "Yes." And he's like, "So could I have a milkshake?" They're like, "No." And that just baffled him.
Right.
And so I kind of love that too. But, and I also love what you said though, like, pick and choose your battles, right? Like, you don't have to say yes to everything. You know, I think that's really just like it helps hit the mindset of his employees, right? Of like, how can we really bend over backwards and be a special place for our guests? But I remember that too, that same call when Kylan was on. I looked at each other like, okay, we got it.
We're like, no, she's in the right place.
We're going to help her. But you're so close. And so it's going well though. Is it going better?
It's going well. And to full disclosure, like we were having some serious big things happening.
Right.
With guests.
Yes.
It wasn't towels and sheets and check-in, late checkout stuff. There was some big things happening that were negatively impacting our community. And that's where I draw the line.
Yeah. Like, right. How did you nip that in the bud? You don't have to say what it is if you don't want to, but how did you nip it in the bud? Was it, what did it for you to where you're still here today and you're still showing up excited to the calls and you're going to conferences? So it sounds like you're still in the game. So what did you change to nip those bigger issues?
I remember again, I was standing in my supply closet, organizing it like angrily organizing, you know, how you anger organize, like you're just flustered and just like counting the sheets and you're just like, I don't know. And you just question everything of life. anyway, that was, I was having a moment and I was like, I need something positive. And I came across your podcast in that moment and I listened to it and listened to all of them. And, then, you know, having the mindset and getting to the point where I just wanted to quit helped me seek out mentors and help. And once I start something, it's really hard for me to let go of it. And so I really wanted to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Joining the Thanks for Visiting host mastery method was hands down like the best thing. Cause I have mentors, not only the two of you, but our members.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, good. Yeah. They're good.
They're really good. And they're also I can just be really real with what's going on. And they're like, oh, I know, sister. Like, mm-hmm. So.
Well, that's what Sarah and I try to tell everybody. And that's why Sarah and I were like immediately connected to each other is it is you in the supply closet by yourself. And that's why you really do have to seek out a community of people to support you and just know like, hey, I'm not the only person. Like this is an everyday problem for every host that's out there. And just kind of push, like you said, push through. Like, no, I'm going to be the best host and I just have to like work through it. And I know too, like you're helping guests, like you're actually helping the whole entire host community too.
Yes, you are.
Because I know like you do serve some larger groups. You do have people celebrating some milestone events in your area. And I know that you're helping to teach them like, well, this is what can happen like at my home, but not, this can't happen at my home. You know, those things are hotel activities. You know, that's not what's happening. And I think I want everybody to understand that right now that's listening. If you have a home that sleeps a larger amount of people, sometimes people have never stayed at a short-term rental and they don't, the activities that they would normally do at a hotel
or
at their home cannot be mirrored at the short-term rental. So sometimes teeing up that special event, when you hear somebody saying, I'm in town for the wedding, you understand that like, this isn't the place for the after party, you know, like this, like kind of understanding what's going to happen with that special event is, cause it can get a little out of hand. If you're not just like, you know, kind of open with them about, I know your neighbors, like you said, your community and your neighbors are super, mm-hmm. as for everybody, really important. So I know you express that to your guests now, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. My neighbors have my phone number. I tell my guests, my neighbors have my phone number. I'm very transparent about it. And, you know, we're in a rec area that's in the National Scenic Area actually. And so there's rules and regulations that are important to, not just neighbors, but wildlife and, you know, fire hazards and all sorts of things. And so, that is really, really important to me.
Okay. Let's transition a little bit now. We had the struggles of looking through the wrong lens and you had to have like a mind shift happened so that you could really find out if hosting truly is, you know, a calling for you, right? Like, and cause we always say that too, like, listen, yes, it doesn't, you do make more money, but it is a different business than being a landlord or really anything in this world. And I've tried a lot of jobs. I used to be an actor, so I've tried a lot of things. And it's very different and it's not for everybody, but I see the light in your eyes and just, it's been a different story from you in the group and on our calls since I would say October, November. But one of the things that you've really conquered is your pricing. That was also a struggle for you. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Sure. When we bought the house and started, we started listing on Airbnb, it was pre-COVID. So it was pre-technology for short-term rentals, really. At least from my knowledge of any technology for short-term rentals. I didn't really understand revenue management for that. I just thought, well, if they book it, they give you money and you're good. That's revenue. And that's all really you have to manage. So I think just educating myself about pricing in our area for the product you're offering. I mean, this is basic business, right? Like you do your research and find your competitors and of course compare amenities and all of that. But the other thing about that I've really had to learn, and this kind of comes with the mindset shift that I had, is I really had to overcome a frame of reference of, well, what is renting that house worth to me versus just visiting the house with my family of four and the dog and for the weekend versus a family of 11 staying together for a wedding up the road that they can just enjoy their weekend. They're going to, that's a lot higher worth to them than it is to me. Mm-hmm. And so the dynamic pricing is incredible. Sure. The algorithms and the technology and, like, you know, you, of course you still have to manage it, but the other part of that ties into my mindset shift of, like, I think sometimes it's easy for a short-term rental host to think, well, gosh, you know, I'll charge that much once I do the kitchen floors. Mm. When those guests don't care about the kitchen floors, those guests care about the hot tub. Those guests care about the grass. Those guests care about the location. So I think, I mean, obviously it increased revenue significantly, dialing in dynamic pricing. It changed the type of guests that we were attracting for sure. Like the problems decreased significantly. And I think that that's because I had the confidence to attach that worth to what it was, to what we were offering.
And that's number one. I'm obsessed with the comment that you made where it's like, it's not what it's worth it to me for the weekend with my family. It's what's worth it to the person actually looking to rent a place, right? It's the old real estate adage of, like, well, your house is worth what someone's willing to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And you, and if you own it and you have a different, you look, again, we talk about those lenses. We always glasses. and you're looking at it through just a lens that really honestly doesn't matter in terms of having that, having you have a siloed view. So, and also what you said, I want our listeners to, like, write this down is, yeah, sure, dynamic pricing gets you to a certain point, but then you have to mix in everything else you know that does make the home the reason why you even made a short-term rental to begin with, right? So I'm not saying throw everything you know about the home away. You can't really say what you would price the value on it. What you have to bring to the table is the location, why people love it, why you loved it, and add that to the data. And then it's got to be this, like, marriage of those elements.
And I want listeners, this is a common thing, what Kylan just said. Sarah and I get this so often. People will bring in technology, they'll bring in a price labs to help them with pricing. And they are, like, really just resistant against it because it gives them a price that they think they could never charge for their property. And they want it to be a quick win and it takes some time, but they just have to get through that initial shock of what they're like, wait, what is this? And so did you have that at first when you started to use dynamic pricing and they were giving you, you know, some of the pricing that you should be charging? Did you have any resistance to it?
Oh, 100%. I was like, this is crazy. There's no way I'm going to get this for that. Like, no, who would pay that?
Can you, was it two times more? Was it three times more? I don't know if you can share what numbers you want to share, what transparency you want to give. Was it double?
It was like two and a half times about,
Per night.
Per night. Yeah.
Okay. So listeners, if you are listening, like, no, seriously, I want you to finish listening to this episode, but we'll have a link to price. I was like, please check this out. Like, listen to what she just said. 2.5 times on a night and then times that by three, like, your year and then your next year and your next, the compound effect. That's Sarah and I, that's why we do this podcast. We feel like there are so many hosts leaving money on the table. And again, we don't want you to gouge the guest if it, you know,
I was just going to say that. I know Kylan's, you know, that was a concern of hers too, right? Like, no one's here to gouge the travelers. We're travelers.
Absolutely
ourselves.
Not. No. Yeah. No.
But it's fair market value. And it's like, I want you to be in business for a long time, Kylan, because you have a beautiful home. We really love what you're doing, right? And you're serving your community in the way of, like, a safe place for people to travel, come stay, all that good stuff. And if we can only do that, if we are accurately pricing our property so we can stay operational.
And I've vetted to Sarah this week how I had a friend of mine call and say, what's going on? Like, Airbnb, like, it's so, like, he was saying, like, wait, I don't, like, I could get a hotel room cheaper. And I'm like, and you should get a hotel room cheaper. They don't have a kitchen. They don't have a living room. And I was, like, actually very proud because I was like, they're two different products. They shouldn't, like short-term rentals are not competing with hotels. We're two very different products. And I was like, it was one of those things I was like, of course I was talking him through it, but I was like, well, let's talk about some things that you're getting at a short-term rental that is priced a little higher. And the price difference wasn't significant, but I was like, I think they are, you know, there's more benefits there. So therefore the price should be increased. So
when I added the dynamic pricing in and what I thought was this astronomical rate, nightly rate, I did take it down a little bit because I looked at all the other short-term rentals around me that slept around the same amount of people that had similar amenities to ours. And I adjusted that way. So I did reduce the nightly rate that Price Labs gave me. But it's still 2.5 times. I mean, but without those tools, I mean, you don't know you don't really know what something's going to go. And with the Price Labs, tool, it's great because you can see those market dashboards and you can compare occupancy rates and you can compare revenue. And the caveat to that, though, is with the occupancy rate, I'm pretty sure, and you can fact check this on me, but I believe if you block out time on the calendar for your own use, for owner use, or for maintenance, that's going to include occupancy rate. So just because a property has 80% occupancy rate doesn't mean it's 80% of paying guests.
Right. And that's why it's so important for us to put our own human minds on top of the data to, like you said, like zhuzh it. You were zhuzhing your pricing. It gave you something. You're like, I'm gonna work with this. And then, you know, sure it's, and here's the thing, revenue management. I mean, this is why in hotels, there's an entire revenue management department. They are always playing with pricing. They are always testing out new things. If you add an amenity, to take away an amenity, if you're under construction, what have you, we were always, it's a living, breathing thing. And so, Kylan, does that excite you? Does that stress you out? Have you found revenue management to be fun at all for you?
Definitely, because I have to adjust it and I look at it on a daily basis, maybe every other day. Because it's always changing and it depends on weather. It depends on if the wildfire smoke has hit the gorge yet. It depends on all sorts of things. Like, it changes constantly. And it depends on if the short-term rentals around me have changed their minimum nightly stay. Like, everything changes all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's not like our neighbors are going to say, you know, call me up every time they make a change. I have to do my due diligence to make sure that I am on it. Amen, otherwise, Kylan, you're just leaving money on the table.
Okay, so when now that you, because you still have long-term rentals in your portfolio, what is the conversation now, you know, between you and your husband, now that you actually, you know, you have some historical data, what's the plan? Like, where is this going now? Because you now brought in this whole new, like, you know, this whole new pillar of real estate. Like, Are there lots of conversations about short-term rentals? Talk to us about that.
Yes, every day, every meal. So, yeah.
Well, you were already talking about real estate all the time anyways, right?
Yes. Okay. Very true. Yeah. the shift really happened from, you know, it being a fun little jobby to being a company, after COVID, after 2020. So, once the shutdown happened here, we had our kids home, were doing school next to us, and we decided to move into our house, the big house, in the gorge to quarantine with my parents. So we'd have help and they'd have help, and we didn't have any reservations, and Portland was kind of blowing up anyway. So we just left, and we had the opportunity to live in that house for 6 months. And it's really a cool opportunity to live in your short-term rental because you find all sorts of things to change and you find what's convenient and other ways to improve a guest experience. But we ended up remodeling the whole backyard. We took a week off of work and rented a mini excavator and a skid steer, and we knocked it out. And we put new countertops in the kitchen and new backsplash, and we probably added $50,000 to $100,000 of value of the house. where we wouldn't have had that time otherwise, probably, to get all of that done in between guests. So we, kids started back into school, or at least sports started again. So we moved back to Portland. And then we experienced another shutdown and moved back in the winter. So we lived there spring, summer, and then back in the winter. So the only season we've missed is the fall.
Let's hope you don't get back.
For those reasons.
Yeah. So we did the renovations, and during COVID, of course, we had some challenges with government mandates and rent and eviction moratoriums, where we couldn't legally collect rent. We couldn't legally shut off utilities for non-payment. We kind of lost a lot of our control, so to speak. And we did have one tenant that, decided to stop paying rent and stop paying the water bill. And, she still had her job. She did not apply for hardship, anything. She just took advantage of the policy. And so, we ended up having to sell that house. That was the only way we could, quit hemorrhaging money from that. So, that kind of sparked a shift for us into short-term rental, just because the risk reward changed with long-term rental for us. Mm-hmm. And so an opportunity came up to purchase another house, in the same area. And so we sold two more properties, and the plan was to 1031 into this house. And at the 11th hour, it fell apart. And so we spent the next 3 months just trying to park the money somewhere and figuring out what to do. So we bought a lot of land. We ended up buying a lot of land.
Okay.
And so the plan is to, the plan today is to, is to build more short-term rentals in the area.
Nice.
So okay. Real quick, and I am not a 1031 expert. So Kylan, since you've been through it, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But for anyone who's listening who doesn't know what that meant, 1031 exchange, you sell a home, you don't want to pay taxes on that sale. You have a certain amount of time to put that money into another property of, it has to be of equal or better value.
Correct.
Kylan. But the mm-hmm. thing is, if you don't find anything, you're paying taxes on that previous sale. So it's very important you find something in that short amount of time. I don't, what is it? How many days is it? Kylan, do you remember?
45 days.
Yeah, it's not long.
It's not very long.
It's not long at all. No.
Especially in today's market. I don't care where you are in our country. Like, it's a kind of a crazy town mm-hmm. market. But okay, so that's, so you bought land and you guys are maybe going to build some interesting places on it for people to stay.
That's the plan. Yeah.
Okay. And Jake from State Farm is on board. Does he love it as much as you do? Or like, what's his role in your business?
Jake from State Farm he likes the deal. He's the deal guy.
That's where he gets excited. Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's the deal guy. He's the one on looking at listings, running the numbers, got this huge Excel spreadsheet that he plugs everything in and does the magic math and then tells me if it'll work or no, it won't, or maybe if we do this or so. And then we make decisions. So he's kind of the numbers guy for sure.
And is he, when he's running numbers for your future short-term rentals, do you have exit strategies for you guys? Is it, I hope this doesn't happen, but in your area, they say no more short-term rentals. Would you guys then, would the numbers work for them to also be long-term, or would you have to sell, or what is your strategy there?
The strategy is to try to make the best decision with the information we have at the time, because
I like that answer. That's
mm-hmm.
a good answer.
The short-term rental regulations are constantly changing. And just like a lot of, recreation areas, destination areas, there's popularity and there's not popularity with this. And so, for us, we are just going to provide
day by day
short-term rentals. Yeah. And I mean, mm-hmm. the demand for the area is not going to go down. The first time my family came to the Gorge, I stayed in a short-term rental. I remember it like, it was a white house with ugly blue shutters, but it had this really cool loft, and it was in the 80s. So it was like super cool and had like blue shag carpet, and my sister and my friends got to sleep up there, and it wasn't a hotel room. It was a different experience. And so, our mission is to just keep pivoting based on the information we have at the moment.
And I love that too, listeners. Like, think Kylan's like going back to the 80s when she's like, I can remember that specific vacation. Because again, it doesn't, if it's like, it could be your carriage house, it could be your own house, it could be an apartment, and someone remembers like, oh, that's where I got engaged, or that's where I went to my cousin's wedding, or that's where I had my 20, you know, whatever the celebration was, or just vacation. Like, I love that you remember that, because I think that's why hosts do what they do, is to have that, like, those memories are taking place there, even though you're not, you know, present with, with your guests. So, so good. I have one really quick question, because you don't live near, do you have a turnover team that helps you, or, you know, boots on the ground that are helping you execute all of this?
Yes, I have an incredible team. We are about an hour and a half away from the properties. We're in Portland, and so White Salmon and Underwood Mountain, they're bedroom communities for Portland to go visit. So I have a cleaner who has her own team, and she's incredible. I'm not the only short-term rental owner that she is boots on the ground for.
Great.
And then my mom, who retired last year, she retired from public health in a pandemic. So she, so she helps me a ton, because she goes in after the cleaners, or right after the guests leave before the cleaners get there. And she's the inspector. She's like the person who goes in and makes sure that, you know, everything is out, or nothing was missed, or make sure, you know, there's no damage that needs to be attended to immediately before the cleaners get there. Never happened, but something, you know, like running water or something.
Yeah,
you know, something.
Right. Yeah. Right. No,
she's a mile away. So she just
perfect.
Knows. I have her even set up as a inspector in my Breezeway app.
Nice.
She has a little calendar.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, that's
it's
great.
A family affair, Kylan. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. It is. No, that's fun. Okay.
That is so great. Fun. Well, I just want to congratulate you, because truly we met you, I don't even know, like, what, 9 months ago, maybe at this point.
Yeah.
And you've just made leaps and bounds, and you sound much more calm. I mean, here's the deal. We're not here to lie to anybody. This industry, this, you know, career, whatever you want to call it, is ever changing. And there are some crazy highs and there are some lows, but if you really love it, and if you're up for the challenge, it's rewarding. And so I just wanted to congratulate you, Kylan, just watching you celebrate your properties wins on our Facebook group has been really fun to watch.
Thank you. Sure. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We are going to, Kylan, how, if someone wants to reach out to you, what would be best there?
You can DM us on Go Gorge Getaways.
All right. We'll make sure to link to that. Okay.
That's probably the easiest.
Perfect. We will make sure that is in
or at least go
the show notes.
Check out Go Gorge Getaways on Instagram and see Kylan's properties. Give her some love. Tell her a way to go. It's always good to get some love from other hosts.
If you've been on the fence about joining us inside our membership, I'm sure Kylan would give you some encouraging words.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do
because,
it. Yeah.
We've been able to hang out with her a lot. And so if you have any questions and you don't want it to come from Sarah and I, DM her to ask her about our hosting business mastery method, because she has been in there crushing it. And I know she has tons of friends that she is connecting with too. So you can ask her about that.
Anything you want to say before we sign off, Kylan, about anything at all regarding hosting to our listeners?
I just want to, you know, tell listeners that if they are on the fence, that joining your group was the best thing that I've ever done. And it was the catalyst that moved it from a jobby to a real company. And I was about ready to quit, to be honest. And so being surrounded by like-minded hosts that had the same struggles, it's not I'm not experiencing the same challenges that I was. And so I'm extremely grateful to have found you. Awesome.
Well, and we're grateful for what you're doing for the industry, because yes. The more we all up-level our businesses, the best it is all around, and the better it is for our mm-hmm. guests too. So awesome. Well, thank you for your time, Kylan. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products. From hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers, we've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.